How good does it get, SK?
Why not us, Troy?
Today, live from the Pinecrest Inn, it's The Smiley Show. So long, everybody.
This is The Smiley Show.
All right, it is Saturday evening here in Augusta, Georgia, recapping the third round of the Masters. And we were sitting here just about 24 hours ago, and Smiley was saying, this tournament's over. It's wrapped. And I said, Smiley, I think there's a lot to play for here. And he said, no, it's done. Put his name on the trophy. Right? Is this coming back to you? Is this jogging your memory a little bit?
Jackson, do you see what I have to deal with?
Yeah.
You see what I have to deal with this guy?
I plead the fifth on this one.
Hey, come on.
That's right. It's a
good
judge.
Don't make
That's
me bring judge. In Judge Brown again.
You don't want to see Judge Brown tonight.
We need a Judge Brown cameo tonight. No, I'll own it. I got ahead of my skis a little bit. I was excited to have a historic win for Rory. Instead, your one and done pick just revived himself.
I do think being in the stands yesterday on 15 and watching Cam Young make that 20-footer and hooting and hollering as that fellow walked to 16.
Maybe France fist
bump a little
bit. I felt
like that could have been the difference.
Gave a little energy there.
Could have been the difference. You know, just that little bit of extra energy from just a fan, you know, a one-and-done fan.
I love it. I love it. We have lots to unpack, but actually, I have a big reveal. Ready for a big reveal?
Okay. No, you did it. You told me this morning.
We did it.
You were not going to get it, and here we are.
I thought I wasn't.
And do we have a name? Last year we named him.
His name is Satch Gucci. You like that name? It's a mouthful, but we need to rename him. Does he look like a Satch Gucci to you?
Satch?
Satch. Right. S-A-T-C-H Gucci.
What?
He's impervious to precipitation, as you can see there with that umbrella.
Call him Dr. Gucci.
Dr. Gucci? Doc Gucci?
Doc
All right,
Gucci.
Doc Gucci. Doc Gucci, this is our new gnome. 3 years running for us on the show here. I thought the run was going to end, but the run's not over. We did.
Was it easy to get?
It was easy to get, and I'll tell you why when the cameras aren't rolling.
Okay,
but it was easier to obtain than I thought it was. Almost too easy. So there we have it.
Also, want to have to shout out to my wife who's here listening to the show for her first time ever listening to an episode.
Why?
It's only been 3.5 years, but here we are.
it's only taken 3.5 years. But the show finally got good enough. The audience finally got large enough.
We've already got a couple chuckles from her so far. That's huge.
That's a win. It's been a very family-oriented show. Last night we talked about eating Brian's children's candy bars. And thankfully,
I have a review.
Do you have a review? Should we hold it till the end of the show, or do you want to do it right now?
Just a quick review.
Okay, well, quick review. All right, we'll do a quick review right now.
Okay, so I think they say there's like rice puffs in the Masters candy bar. I would say that it needs more. Needs a little bit more of that crunch and texture. It's a little too sticky.
Yeah, it should be more, but we actually, Jackson has something he can play for us right here, and we can add a little bit to this production. Can you just fire this off? Because it's now raccoon time here on The Smiley Show. You guys know how this segment works. It's one of our long-running, or one of our favorite segments here, Raccoon Time. Smiley, clean off those paws. We're dumpster diving. Because today's item on Raccoon Time is the Masters Candy Bar. And we're going to do a live taste test right here on The Smiley Show.
Oh, my God.
I paid $8 for this song.
No, you didn't.
Oh, we did.
Oh. A lot of nougat.
You know what I'm talking about?
The first bite always is.
A lot of caramel, a lot of nougat.
Chocolate blend with caramel, a lot of caramel. Rice crisp, that's what it's not. They need more of that.
They do need more. They should put the rice crisp inside the bar, not just on top.
I feel like I'm a dog sheer with peanut butter right now. I'm just like, I can't get it down.
I feel like one bite might be all we can do on this show.
Okay.
It's really good.
Easily the highlight of the day for me.
Thank you again for joining us on Raccoon Time. This has been Raccoon Time on The Smiley Show.
A segment everyone knows and loves.
Yes, I'm just absolutely making a mess.
Okay, well, look at that. We got Doc Gucci. We got Raccoon Time.
See, this is what the Masters candy bar. That's a problem.
That's a lot.
You cannot.
You shouldn't try to do a show with the Masters candy bar in your mouth.
Yeah.
It wouldn't end well.
Okay. So besides that being the favorite part of my day, the second favorite part of my day was going down with Fran, AV, Big James, Big James' wife, Faith, down to the bottom of the hill at Amen Corner to watch all the final groups go through.
Amazing.
Went to concessions, got a couple things we need to talk about there, about what we got. But Fran had a Master's candy bar, and she had one. And before she was going to throw it away, I was like, no, I'm good. I already had some. AV said, sure, I'll have it. So he takes this melted Master's candy bar that has been, I mean, this thing is, you can't get anything out of there. Like, you open it, it's just all the dark chocolate stuck to the wrapper. I look over at AV in the stands. We're just sitting there on 12, and I look over, and he has two fingers that are just covered in chocolate. I mean, you can't even imagine with no napkins what the scene looked like at 12.
Like a Winnie the Pooh honey jar type of situation here.
And, I mean, he spent 10 minutes trying to get his finger to look like a finger again. I mean, it's just brown. And he just...
we can clip this segment and use it on the soundboard because that's a visual. That's a visual right there.
Two fingers that are just brown. And he's just over here like a dog with peanut butter, man. Just going to town. It was an all time. I was dying.
Wow. That's how good these candy bars are. We're not lying to you. I mean, I would have done the same thing. You have a melted Master's candy bar. You got to get the last little bit. I probably would have brought napkins. I think that's the only thing.
No. Like, honestly, and it was great in the bar, but like having some of it off his finger was just as good too.
What's the rating on it? What are you guys rating the Master's candy bar?
What are we rating the Master's candy bar?
I'm trying to steer the conversation.
I don't know. I think it has something more. Man alive.
Can you imagine the camera shot of just two guys? just trying to get just the last bit of Master's candy bar off each other's fingers, man.
I'm sure. I hope that made its way to feature group coverage. Should we attempt to talk golf? There was golf. There was golf played on Saturday at Augusta National, despite the intro to the show. We talked with Cam Young, round of the day, also matched by Scotty Scheffler.
What did I say Thursday?
You said that he still had some life in him. And boy, were you right.
He wasn't dead yet.
Was not dead yet.
We looked down the board, said, who's still got a chance to win this golf tournament? I said, Cam Young, maybe Ludvig Åberg. That's about it.
Yeah.
Here we are.
And here we are. I mean, Rory posts, they both are at 11 under going into Sunday by virtue of Rory made bogey there at 17. We were watching here as we prepared for the show. Sam Burns one shot up at 10 under. I thought it was interesting to talk a little Rory today, where he had two of the best days in the field from an approach perspective. Thursday was fifth in the field. Friday was 10th in the field. And then just looked like there was a little bit of a left miss today that came into play. Hit that ball in the water on 11, kind of pulled one left on 12. Was lucky. Like even on 14, he makes birdie, but he doesn't love that wedge shot. It was, you know, left enough where he was worried about it not catching the hill and funnels down. He makes a birdie putt there. But he was second to last in the field today in terms of approach statistics. I mean, I think people are going to point to – this is what I think is going to happen with Rory, is that they're going to say, oh, it's nerves. It's a psychological sort of – you know, he never really fully got over it. I don't necessarily agree with that. Like, I think the driver still – he hit his first fairway on a par 5 at 15 of the entire week today.
That's insane.
And when the approach is off like that, I mean, I think he's – you're probably pretty happy to be tied heading into the final day of the Masters.
Rory's been the most inaccurate driver in the entire field. That's insane to me. With the players that have made the cut. And vice versa, Cam Young has been the second most accurate driver of the golf ball of players that have made the cut. The most accurate is Aaron Rye, but he's all the way down the leaderboard. Mm-hmm. So when we think about Sunday, if Rory McIlroy doesn't find more fairways, Cam Young, the way he's driving the golf ball, which is a reason why I picked him at the beginning of the week, his precision, his accuracy with all of his clubs across the board, but that driver is such a weapon. It sets up his whole game. And so Rory's going to have to go get some work done after this round. And it looked like he was struggling a little bit with some right misses off the tee, a lot of left misses with irons, which we've always talked about has been his mm-hmm. big bugaboo mm-hmm. is when those irons start going left. But tomorrow is going to be interesting because we all know that there's going to be plenty of funnel pins right on Sunday. And so when you have these funnel pins, there's more opportunities for birdies. But there's also, when you think about just the par fives today, which I thought all the hole locations on the par fives, especially on the front nine, were very accessible. 2 and 8. And then 3 was drivable today. Is it going to play quite as easy as it felt like it did on some of those holes to begin the day? 2, we know the traditional back right hole location. 1's going to be gettable, which should be in that bucket in that front right. I think tomorrow will be a day where you're going to have to go make some birdies early. You can't just sit on even par through 9 holes.
There was, again, we read some quotes from players after the round yesterday about the conditions and how we saw it looking super crispy on Thursday, thought that was the way it was going to continue to trend throughout the weekend. And yesterday was softer, and it looks like today, again, it was softer. I mean, I think when we talked about it last night, we said that probably keeps more players in the tournament. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go for today. Looks like maybe they moved up the tee, some of the par fives. You could go for them in 2, not feeling like there was as many layups, but just the softness of some of those greens as well, being more receptive to approach shots. How do you feel about, you know, what seems to have been done with the condition of this course watering? Would you have liked to have seen it firmer and faster? Do you think this is a fairer test?
No. Friday, I think it was maybe just a little bit of an overreaction from Thursday night. I thought Saturday played pretty nicely. I thought some of the hole locations.
It was more hole location than conditions today that led to scoring.
I thought Thursday, though, I was surprised at the way they set up the golf course. I felt like they had some of the tougher hole locations on a lot of greens with some of the toughest setup with a golf course that they turned dry. And I think the wind, they weren't quite expecting maybe the humidity combined with the wind for some of the downwind holes to play so firm with some of the greens that obviously are more shallow. Friday, the greens definitely got softer, more scorable, but let's not act like we've seen 63s. We've seen some good scoring on Friday and Saturday, but I think we can all say that it's been fun, right? How do greens get really firm? Well, they have that color to them. I don't think Augusta National is going to have the greens looking brown. Like, they're going to keep the golf course green to an extent. Like, it'll start getting more purple than it would before it gets brown, right?
Right.
There's an aesthetic to this place.
Sure.
And when you don't have wind, that is a huge, huge factor in that first bounce. So into the breeze shots, of course, with firm greens will be a little bit smaller. But when you get the downwind holes, that is when you get those huge bounces with firm greens that aren't quite brown. So when you don't have any wind, there's not a whole lot you can do besides, you know, just tucking away some hole locations. But we know what a traditional Sunday setup is. And I tell you what, this leaderboard's awesome. Oh. Cam Young, Rory, Sam Burns, Shane Lowry, Jason Day, Justin Rose, and Scottie Scheffler. Yeah, sign me up.
Haotong Lee. Can't forget Haotong Lee in there as well.
Yeah, I mean, I thought if Scottie could get within 4 shots of the lead once he started making that run, I said he's going to have a chance tomorrow, right?
Because we're of course focused at the top of the leaderboard right now is that final pairing is Rory McIlroy and Cameron Young. But to have Scottie Scheffler after the sort of hand-wringing we did after a 74 yesterday of, oh, he's lost it. I mean, he's 4 shots off the lead in a major championship, a place he's won twice. He's very, very much in play.
He needs to shoot 6-under tomorrow.
You think he needs
to shoot? I think 13's the number. Unless, of course, Cam Young or Rory McIlroy go and run away and hide. But, you know, there's a lot of pressure on a Sunday. And we'll see of all these players. I mean, Sam Burns and Jason Day, if they have good ball striking days, all of a sudden, you know, you have 2 of the best putters in the world trying to, you know, move themselves up the leaderboard with Sam Burns being 1 back and having an excellent ball striking week. It's a huge reason why he's contending. He's one of the best iron players in the field, which I felt like that was one of his things that's holding him back all these years at these major championships and especially at Augusta National. So with Scottie, you know, having a day in which he moved up the leaderboard, birdie in 11, and 13 was such a swing shot today for him. He had, you know, just a 6 or 7 iron into that green, walks away with par, still shoots 65, but there was a reporter that asked him after the round, gosh, was that kind of a woulda, coulda, shoulda 65? He's like, no, next question, 65 at Augusta. What are we talking about here?
He said, the quote's up here somewhere, but it was, and then he went back, to be fair to Scotty later, he said, I went a little too hard on a question that wasn't that bad earlier, so I'm not going to rip this other question. But I mean, he said it as much in a post-round interview with the man of Balionis of just, you know, there were a few shots he felt like he left out there. Could have been, mm-hmm. you know, 62. I mean, of course, that's any round of golf ever. But, yeah, he's right there. He's in the hunt. What do you think we know what the composition in terms of just the dynamics was last year in that final group with Rory and Bryson. It was, you know, adversarial to a certain point. This feels like, even though they're on opposite sides of the Ryder Cup rivalry, a pretty low-key final group in terms of Rory and Cam. How do you think that's going to play out?
What do you mean low-key?
Just in terms of Cameron Young kind of quiet, keeping to himself. When you think back of what Rory said in the documentary.
So more so just the everything that surrounds Bryson. Is what
yeah,
you mean.
Just less of a – although, you know, it will be interesting because we've seen now a couple tournaments where Cam's been in contention, especially the players – where there is a pro USA contingent of the crowd,
that you're really not going to get any like heavy USA chants out there.
Not Augusta National, but I mean, and Rory, as we know, is a fan favorite here. What do you think the fan sport's going to be like for these two?
I mean, Rory, obviously,
you think more so than Cam.
I think he will, but I think Cam's going to get a ton of support as well.
He feels like he more and more is becoming a fan favorite.
Yeah,
so it'll be interesting. It'll be a good follow.
Well, I think it's going to be fun. You know, just having Scottie Scheffler to see. You know, if he gets off to a start where he's at 10 under through three holes, right? If he gets 3 under through three. All of a sudden, you know, when these guys are on the first hole, they only have a one-shot lead over Scotty. It feels like when we get to the back nine, if Scotty was within a couple shots, it's going to be so fun to see who's going to be able to pull off the shots on Amen Corner. Gosh, it's going to be such an exciting day with so many different possibilities. But to answer your question about Cam and Rory, you know, these guys played with each other the first 2 days, right? Like they yeah. played with him, Rory Mason and Howell, yeah. Mason Howell. Mm-hmm. And so I think they know what to expect with one another.
Yeah.
And they know what each other have. Like there's not going to be any surprise mm-hmm. about Cam being out there and seeing Rory miss fairways. I think that helps him too. You know, if you hadn't seen Rory play all week and Cam Young's not going to go and look at the stats at the end of the day, like right. I think he would expect Rory McIlroy at 11 under par and say, gosh, I bet he's driving it so well. You know, well, but he's played with
seen
him
how
two
he's getting
rounds,
the score out of it. Right.
Right? And I think that, yeah. there could be a mental edge in a way for Cam, knowing that he's driving it better. Like I have better stuff than him right now. And Cam has the experience of winning most recently. Now, not at Augusta National, but there's mental games that you can play if you're Cam. The biggest challenge that I think Cam has and Scotty heading into tomorrow is that it's very difficult to back up a day in which everything is going right. When you go out and shoot 65, it's really really difficult to go out and shoot another 65. So with and Cam, of course, only had one mistake at 15, but still, it's going to be an entertaining Sunday, to say the least.
All right, so you have 13 under winning?
I think if you're a chaser.
Okay.
So if I'm Shane Lowry, Jason Day, Justin Rose, Scottie Scheffler, all of those players, I think you give 2 under as your minimum. So you think that mm-hmm. one of those guys, whether it be Cam or Rory, would go out and shoot 2 under at worst. And I think if you get to 14, you have a chance to win outright. That's kind of how I view the board. Now, it's going to be interesting because I think it'll be important to be a leaderboard watcher earlier tomorrow mm-hmm. if you're one of the chasers. Because if Rory and Cam get off to a start where they're 2 under par through three and they're at 13 under, of course, anything can happen around Amen Corner. We saw it happen today with Rory. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just coming off a birdie at 10 and then somehow ends up hitting an iron at 11, by the way, which I got some stats at number 11. That whole location, although it looks very acceptable to golf balls coming in, it is far from it. In years past of that whole location, only 25% of players have hit the green in regulation. But as we saw today, it was a bit of feast or famine. You saw yeah. some guys make some birdies, mm-hmm. but also if you try to take on the shot, you could end up in the water like Roar. So.
Roar just a little short of it, just runs right off that yeah. slope there. So, all right, so 13 or 14 is a winning number. Do you want to – are you still riding with Cam?
I'm still riding Cam, man.
All right, okay.
I think Cam Young shoots 300 tomorrow, gets to 14, and I think he wins by one.
I think – I feel like maybe there's a Justin Rose comeback in there, a little dark horse action, but I want to see a green jacket on Hao Tong. Really want to see a green jacket on the Hao Tong Lee. I want that.
How about just a 5-man wolf game? Like, how about we go Cam, yes. Rory, Sam Burns, Scotty, and then I'll give you Justin Rose in there.
Okay, I like it. I like that game.
5-man wolf game playoff. That'd be incredible.
What? Last question. Am I a tour advisor guy?
Yeah, you can pull it off.
How about it?
You can pull it off. Jax can pull it off. Brian can pull it off. Look, I'm the only guy not wearing
Vise. We might be tour visor guys. Shout out Imperial. Coming soon. You might also be able to obtain a tour visor and see if you're a tour visor guy.
That's right.
That's all I got. We know we got to get you going here. So, golly, pumped up for Sunday at the Masters. See how this thing plays out. We'll be right back here tomorrow. Ooh, breaking the whole thing down.
One last thing on food. Okay. So, you know how combinations is a big part of your Augusta, yes, National experience? You can't just have a sandwich. You got to combine it with something.
Yep.
Well, Fran and I concocted up some things today.
Okay. All right. We got to hear it.
And I thought I was going to beat her in this. And she's like, hold on. They have these cups of barbecue that you can get. So, mm-hmm, she gets a cup of barbecue, and then she got a pimento cheese sandwich. And she put the barbecue on the pimento cheese. And, buddy, I'm wearing it, as you can see. Barbecue comes out a little hot, but it was terrific. And this is before, so like, I went ham and cheese on rye. You know where I stand on that right now.
Yeah, tried that today, by the way.
And put some pimento cheese on the ham and cheese on rye. So just went extra cheese on the thing, basically. But it was really good.
That sounds really good.
But, and I will say, I did have barbecue chips with that to kind of give it a little barbecue flavor.
Okay.
And it was really good, but it wasn't anything quite like the barbecue. Barbecue pimento cheese sandwich thing.
That was the most responded comment.
Yeah.
The reel we put out today talking about your food. It was put barbecue cheese, barbecue, the scoop barbecue on a pimento cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to do that tomorrow. I'm going to do that for him.
I got one question for you guys.
Okay, hit us, Jackson.
From a follower. Does Shane Lowry have the best ace resume of all time?
How about that?
Yes. I think the answer is yes. If you're not up to date with Shane Lowry's aces, wake up, number one. Number two, I'll give you the list. 7 at Pebble Beach. You got 16 at Augusta National, number 6 at Augusta National, and then also 17 at Sawgrass. And then Asterisk will give you number 2 at Memorial Park in Houston.
All those are all 5 as aces.
And then how about hole outs? We'll go number 6 at Torrey Pines, 6 at Torrey Pines, and then 13 at Augusta National this week.
Oh my
hold
gosh.
His start, hold yeah. out his eagle shot away.
There's nobody you want trying to make the ball in a
hole. All he does is hole out.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, that's a pretty good resume. We were talking about that. He probably needs 16 to add to that resume. You know,
I thought 16 at Port Rush would have been.
Or, I mean 12. I'm sorry, 12. Yeah, 12. 16 at Port Rush, but he needs 12 at Augusta.
Well, he's. Yeah,
what if he gets all of them?
He's going for the Royal Flush.
Go 4-12.
Yeah, the Royal Flush.
So Justin Kutcher, my play-by-play guy, mm-hmm, on Inside Amen Corner, told me today that Jeff Knox has an eagle at every hole at Augusta National.
That was like the story we heard about Buddy Marucci at Pine Valley.
I didn't want to call BS on air, but I'm calling BS right now. That's I might have to text Lee.
Yeah, we should just get Jeff Knox on the show.
Yeah.
We should get Jeff Knox and Buddy on the show to discuss their respective eagles at two of the most elite places.
Which one of you took a breakfast ball?
Yeah.
Who's going to cave first?
Hold on now. That's what we got for today, Smiley. Unless you have any parting words on the way out. We're dialing in for coverage tomorrow.
Cam Young at 14 under.
Cam Young at 14.
McIlroy and Justin Rose finish at 13. Wow. Scotty Scheffler at 12.
Along with
Sam Burns.
You heard it here first.
Although I'd love to see a Gold Tigers winning.
Would love to see it. I'd love to see a little Hao Tong Lee win.
I wish I had Sam Burns at the beginning of the week, or I would give a Sam Burns scenario where he would win.
There are a lot of scenarios in play out there. And we'll be right back here recapping it tomorrow night. So make sure you subscribe, stay tuned, and we'll bring you all the coverage as soon as the final round of the Masters in 2026 is in the books.
We'll see you next week on the Golf Channel. This has been The Smiley Show.
You know, I listen to this podcast. It's really cool. And
all of our lovely fans and subscribers, but make sure you like and subscribe.
It's cool to see what you guys are doing. I know golf fans appreciate it, but we do too. So please keep it up.
For all the good people of YouTube, like and subscribe.
You guys have some good takes, so I'm happy to come on and shoot the